or yesterday? Did anyone ask yourself that when you did something? Anybody do that? All right. What do I really want? So what we're doing here is we're connecting our desires to our behavior so we can see the idol that really is trying to displace God, and specifically a specific attribute of God. Because sometimes we can take an attribute of God and use it as a bludgeoning stick. Don't you know God is holy, right? Don't you know God sees you? Don't you know? And if we're not careful, we can actually cause people to run to that which they already are struggling with. And so what we're trying to do is really help them to see, what do I not believe about God? And how is it that I'm loving myself more than God? And what that does is that allows us to really get to the core of how I'm loving myself more than Christ. And then when I see that, then really nobody's got to arm wrestle me to deal with my sin. I mean, really what's going on is really I will run to Christ when a Christian really sees what's going on in their heart. It does facilitate a true biblical repentance. And so as God reveals my lack of obedience, I'm to come to him in humble repentance. Christians are to be broken over their wrong view of God and their love for self. And so really, what does that include? That includes a confession of sin, just to say the same thing that God does. Are we ever tempted to blame shift? Are we ever tempted to blame other people because of our sin? Are we ever tempted to just really lie or exaggerate? Yeah, but when you confess your sin, you're simply agreeing with God. And so this confession of sin is really employing godly affections. It's remember when we talked about our mind, our will, and our affections? Like when somebody shouts fire, it's not like you actually thought, it's not like you have a thought process that goes like this. Fire. What is fire? By the way, can you even answer that? I've thought about that before. So you begin to answer, what is fire? And what is the consequence of being in fire? And do I really want to be in fire? Do I want my kids in fire? No, no, no. And you think, and then all of a sudden you stand up and you start running, and then you feel. No, it's this overwhelming all at once. Just your affection is connected to your behavior and your thoughts and your feelings. And so godly affections, when we really see Christ on the cross, we see our sin, it should invoke godly affections so that we forsake our sin. Which really, what is the forsaking of sin? It's really putting off those things that would offend God. It's saying, I can't go there because those sins have been paid for. I can't go there because those things offend God. Those things have already been paid for. And I want to put on the new attributes. I want to put on the attributes of the new man, and I want to flee from that which would lead me back to the old life. I think sometimes in weeks like this where we're emphasizing specific sin, I think that sometimes people will confess, but they won't forsake. They won't just cut it out of their life. I've had folks before that maybe were confessing to me something about visual immorality. And I had one guy, and he said, hey, so will you be my accountability partner? I said, no. He was kind of taken back. He said, why not? I said, because you won't get rid of your phone. I mean, I said, you're the weaker brother, man. You need a dumb phone. You can't have a smartphone. So if you're not going to throw your phone out the window, then there's no reason for me to keep you accountable. You know what I mean? It's like sometimes people are like, oh, I just waste my time. Well, then why don't you go ahead and turn off cable for 6 months? You know what I mean? No, I can't. I got my show. I got to watch my show. Well, then go waste your time. You know what I mean? It's like getting radical with certain areas. Just, you know, I think so many times that if we don't teach correctly about the weaker brother, What happens is sometimes we never identify how we are the weaker brother. Do you know all of us are weaker in some way? I mean, we could all be spiritual and yet have an area that we're weaker. Does that compute? We could all be spiritual, walking with God, loving God, and in certain areas, I'm just the weaker brother. There are things I just should not do. I mean, I just know it. I just should not do certain things. I don't want to start naming specific things because then some of you are like, no, you could do that. Or some of you are like, yeah, you better not do that. That's not the point. I just think every single one of us have areas that we see that we draw back in a sin. You know what? There are specific relationships that are toxic. Does anyone have any toxic relationships? Well, you know what? It just might be that you know what? You're not strong enough to handle day in, day out, lengthy conversations with that person. I feel like I was that way when I left Idaho. There were a whole group of friends that would have got me back into sin. And when I went back those first couple years, I just couldn't hang with them. I just couldn't go there. I was not strong enough to get with them, okay? And I just had to trust God to minister to them by somebody else. Because, you know, I just wasn't the stronger brother. I couldn't do that. And I just think that sometimes some of us, we just don't eliminate those things that just really tear us down. I think that we tolerate, we coddle sin. Like it's something, you know, like pull some raccoon from the forest. We're kind of like, oh, what a nice pet. And then it bites you and gives you rabies, right? I think this is how we treat our sin. We're just kind of like, oh, sin. But then be reconciled to those that are affected by my sin. I think that people who don't want to be open about what they say they're broken about probably aren't broken. Now, obviously, the circle of confession should only be as broad as the circle of the offense. But you know, sir, if you've offended your family, I mean, like, you know it, you've said words, you've hurt people, then humble yourself. If you can't humble yourself and ask for forgiveness, then it could be that you really aren't broken over that sin. But they're mostly wrong. Probably. Who cares? You know what I mean? Just take care of your end of the stick. You know, restore that which was stolen. Be reconciled. Let there be just a true repentance. And I believe that true repentance does take place when those people that they see God and how big he is and really their sinful heart and there's a woundedness in their spirit. But you know, I'm not exhorting us to repent over our sin just in the flesh. There's just no way to do that. It's got to be connected to step number 3. And so, which is remember my position in Jesus Christ. In fact, what I wanted to do is I think that even in all this, that what could happen is we could turn this into the law and it's just like this linear process. Okay, I did this. Therefore, what do I believe about God? And now I need to repent and now I need to remember my position in Christ. But Christian sanctification isn't always so linear. There are times that you're like saying, I don't have to do that. And you didn't even identify what the idol was, and you just remembered or you reminded yourself what your position is in Jesus Christ. So what do I mean by remember your position in Jesus Christ? Why is this so important when dealing with sin that we would actually take the time to connect the dots between my ability to say no to sin and what I have in Christ? Does anyone want to take a stab at it? Why is it so important that we remember our position in Christ? What do you think? Okay, so we can remember his grace. Otherwise, what do I think? Where do I think my strength came from? Yeah. And suddenly, that's how you drift back into legalism. That's how you drift back into a self-righteousness. That's how you drift into a moralism. That's how you drift back into counseling people, stop it, remember? Stop it. Stop that. Don't do that. If you do that, bad things are going to happen to you. Stop that. Now, it's true. They should stop it. It's true. Bad things could happen to them. But is that the ultimate motivation? Yes or no? No. And so taking the time to connect the dots. So what we've been trying to do in this pre-service is once again connect all the dots or actually put the linkage back in there because I think that every single one of us know that we ought to stop it. I think every single one of us know that we shouldn't have idols. Every single one of us know that we ought to have true repentance. Every single one of us know that we ought to believe in our position in Jesus Christ so that we can have a relationship with God. But do you know what we're doing in this pre-service, and it's this really a talk about sanctification, by the way. I kind of tricked us. You know, I said this was a counseling process, but what I'm doing is I'm giving you a theology of sanctification. How is it that we can grow? How is it that we do grow? How is it that we do deepen our walk with Christ? It's all of these things put together. And sometimes what happens is we emphasize one and we forget the reason. I can do this in preaching sometimes. Have you ever heard a preacher? We get to the text. And because I've been studying it, I've been thinking about it, I rush to the application. And sometimes some people, because they know the text well enough, they actually like, yeah, I see how that's in the Word. And then you hear the application, you're like, yeah, I should do that. But how many of us have ever heard somebody preach and it sounds like they're just saying, do it? And what happens is for some of us, we go away from that encounter with the Word, and we didn't really encounter the Word, we just encountered the exhortation of the preacher. And what happens over time is some of us forget to connect the dots. It's just the way that is. It's like the tread has worn down and we forget that there was distinct grooves. We forget that there was distinct ways. And so what we're doing is we're connecting the dots between my ability to, let me say it this way, my ability to stop it is because of what Jesus did on the cross. But sometimes we don't connect the dots. And sometimes in talking to our children or talking to other people or we just kind of exhort people, don't you know that's wrong? And they're not really connecting the dots to grace. So our identification with Christ is the reason we can and the motivation to live a life that is obedient and pleasing to God. So when we preach through Colossians, that's really what's going on right here. Because we died with Christ. So let me just give us the theological lesson. It's called union with Christ. When we got saved, the Spirit of God, okay, have you ever heard somebody talk about asking Jesus into your heart? That's another great one where what started that language and what some people can mean today with that, there's a missing link. In fact, there's a whole book saying, stop asking Jesus into your heart. Because it's not really like sometimes people say, dear Lord Jesus, please come to my heart. And you miss the whole point. Because what that is really, it was talking about a theology of where when we got saved, when we were regenerated, the Spirit of God now dwells in us. And now Christ, through the Spirit, dwells in us. Now we, through the Spirit, are brought into a union with Christ. So that when Jesus died 2,000 years ago, guess what? You died. When Jesus died 2,000 years ago, we died. I'm crucified with Christ, right? Romans chapter 6. Knowing that Christ died, he died once, and you died with him. But then, guess what? Colossians doesn't just reveal that we died with Christ. Colossians goes on and says, if you then be risen with Christ. So we, mystically, you know, through this mystical union with Christ, we died to sin, but then we've been raised to new life. So when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he conquered sin. No longer is he under the condemnation of the law. No longer is he under the power of sin. He conquered that. That's why 1 Corinthians 15 says, right? It says, death, where's your victory? Grave, where's the sting? Or maybe I flipped them, but really it's like he conquered it. And then Colossians tells us that we're hid with Christ. So this life we have is hid in Christ, in God. But you can't always see it. And this is why it requires a life of faith. We can't see it now, but we will see it later. So my friend's pastor in Wisconsin, and there was this girl, she got saved. She's going to a mainline Lutheran church there in Wisconsin. So she's going to the Baptist church on Sunday night, and she still go to her Lutheran church Sunday morning, and she'd go on the Lutheran retreats with the singles groups, and she's kind of in that middle ground, you know. And she went on this Lutheran retreat, and she had a study Bible, and every morning she'd get up and she'd just read the Bible because she just wanted to hear the Word, and her Lutheran friends are like, what are you doing with that Baptist Bible? Like, the Baptists have a Bible, but you know. And they don't, by the way. I don't know what you, okay. And she's just reading this study Bible. And at night, they start talking about things that were immoral or party or this. And she just drift out of that. And she'd go to bed early. And all of her friends, finally one of them says, something's different about you. Well, what is it? This life you have is hid in Christ. But they couldn't, they can't see, like, they can't really see the, like, Jesus, but they see Jesus, don't they? You ever heard the phrase, I saw Jesus in you? You see what I'm saying? It's like, you, because Christ now dwells in you, and Christ is being manifested so that, that other people are like, you're different, but there's something about you that's attractive. But one day, we'll see him too. And one day the clouds are going to break, or one day we're just going to be caught up together, or one day we're going to breathe our last and we'll wake up in his presence. Won't it be a sweet day to see Jesus? And all of a sudden, faith becomes sight. And so here we are. We're like seeing our manifestations of sin. So what do you really want? What's your idol? What don't you believe about God? What is it that, how is it that you're loving your sin more than Christ? Repent of that sin. Why? Because of what you are in Jesus Christ. You died to sin. You've been raised to newness of life, but this life is hidden within Christ. So now believers can seek heavenly things. Believers can set their affection on things above. Believers can mortify the old man and his manner of living. Colossians 3 is a good reminder that it's not you that does it, but Christ who has done it, Christ who is doing it and will do it, and therefore you can obey. And what does this do? This frees us from self-righteousness. This frees us from our legalism, but it frees us from having to go be licentious. And now we're free to enjoy God. That's the goal. The goal is to so that we can wake up and just walk with Jesus. The goal is that we can just love him. The goal is that we just walk with him. The goal is not to spend all day like going, no, 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 no. Oh, they did. Oh, I hate those people. No, you know what the goal is? Love Jesus. The goal is like to say, no, I can't go. No, I can't do that. Because it's going to rob my joy for Jesus. No, I'm not going to do that because that's sin. Believers can actually grow in Christ. And I mean, look at all these positional passages. You've got it in the notes. These would be worthy of memorization or study or just looking into John 15, Romans 6, 7, and 8, Galatians 5, Ephesians 4, 2 Peter 1 through 11. And really, as we remember our position in Christ, it frees us to actually go after him. What we're going to do tomorrow is we're just going to talk about how is it that we can renew our relationship with God, because that's the goal. The goal is that every day we just renew our relationship. We stumble, then we ask, so what do I want? What do I disbelieve about God? Do I need to repent? Why can I repent? Because of my position in Christ. How is it I can walk with Jesus better? Isn't that what we want to do? Just walk with Jesus a little bit more. Well, let's take a little break, and we'll come back together in just a moment.